Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera. I'm your host, and I'm so excited to be here today with my friend, Sonia McCullough. Wow, Sonia is an absolute gem. I love talking with her, and I know that you're going to have the same experience. Every single time I talk to Sonia, she just calms my spirit, encourages my soul, and I absolutely am thrilled that you get to hear a little bit about her story and how God has transformed her life. So thank you, Sonia, for being here with us today. Oh,
thank you, Jessica. It's a privilege to be here. We'll have fun together.
I can't wait. This is so exciting. Okay. So Sonia, let's start out. I would love for you to tell everyone about your background. Your background of faith. Tell
okay,
us a
thank
little bit
you.
About yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in the beautiful land of the Eternal Spring, which is Guatemala, in a religious home, but we really didn't go to church, just for weddings. But I'm thankful that my mom enrolled me in a private school that was run by nuns. So the nuns taught me how to love God, how to love Jesus. But at the time, they said it was salvation by works. So I tried to be a good girl, get good grades, obey my mom and dad, not getting in trouble, and just do the right thing. It wasn't until I came to the United States to work at the Inter-American Development Bank as a bilingual secretary when I was 19 years old that someone from the bank invited me to go to church. And I thought, you know, in my mind, well, I go to this American church. I'll just practice English with the Americans. No harm done. So I went there to practice English. But God had other thoughts for me. As I was waiting for my friend, another girl shared the gospel with me. And she showed me from the scripture that salvation is by grace, not by works, that no one should boast. It is the gift of God. So I realized that there was nothing I could do to earn my way to heaven, that the Lord Jesus Christ had paid the price on the cross for me. He has shed his blood for me. And since that time, so I repented because I was very proud. I thought very self-righteous. So I repented for my sin, for my disobedience to God. And then she told me that since salvation was by grace, that God has said that he who has the Son of God has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life, because he had given us the Lord Jesus Christ. So since that time, I know that I have the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, I have the life. I have a life, an abundant life here on earth, an eternal life in heaven. I just praise God for that.
Amen. That's awesome. Now, how old were you?
I was 19.
You were 19, so it was very soon after you arrived to the United States.
Yeah, well, I came to the United States at 19, but I had turned 20 a few months later, so I was 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so right within the first year or so of you being here, this happened.
I think the Lord was watching over me because I lived in D.C. I didn't know anybody except the girl who I live with. I had seen her once, but he protected me and sent an angel to invite me to church.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
It's amazing the power of just a simple invitation like that, right? Somebody inviting you to church, you go to church, and it leads to a series of events that transforms your life.
It's incredible, because then later I met my dear husband, and we married and had 6 kids.
Oh, 6 kids.
I know, they're all saved. And so I'm very grateful to the Lord.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so tell me the age range of your 6 kids.
The youngest is 23 and the oldest is 39.
Okay. So you have adult children now and you have lived a lot of life in relationship
with
God. Yeah, that's very exciting. Now, I want to sit for just a second on what you said. I'm sure you're going to talk about it more, but I love where you said that you were really focused on working your way to, work your way into heaven.
That's right.
That you wanted to basically be a good enough person that God would let you in. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Because that's what I was taught.
Right.
That, you know, even there's a saying back home, oh, you are so good. You're just earning your way to heaven. You know, you do so many good deeds.
Right.
You have earned heaven already. But it wasn't like that.
Right.
No, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for me.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting, especially culturally, because my husband's from Chile and we're bilingual and we speak Spanish at home, and I've lived in a couple of Spanish speaking countries. And so I actually have never visited Guatemala before, but I have visited a few other Central American countries, and I'm familiar with this language and this culture that you speak of. And it's just kind of baked into everyday conversation, these kind of cultural interpretations of Christianity that are actually fairly misguided in the sense of what the Bible says, because you grew up with these statements like, oh, you're just earning your way into heaven, or God he's already let you in because you're such a good person. And so it gives you this sense of I've got to work for it, you know? And when you read the Bible, you actually learn that that is not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say you have to work for it in order to earn my favor, right? So this biblical experience that you had of understanding, oh, this is what Jesus came for. This is what Jesus said. There's no way that I can work my way into heaven. But that's kind of the whole point of Jesus coming, right? Is because we can't possibly be good enough. And he made a way for us.
Yes, exactly. And it's very clear when they shared the verse with me that God has given us eternal life. He gave it to us. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. So although I was very good, because when I started going to church, I didn't see any difference between the girls at the youth group and me, because I was very moral. And I'm very grateful for that, because it kept me out of trouble. But I wasn't saved.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing about that part of your life. So now that you have been living a life of faith for many, many years, and you've raised children and all of these things, can you tell me what is it that you have learned about God?
Well, it's very difficult because there are so many aspects of him. He is just incredible.
This is a very hard question, I'll admit. But
one of the things that come back to me is his faithfulness. Mm. God is trustworthy. He's worthy of my faith. He's going to keep his promises, because men are going to fail. We're going to fail because we're sinners, but God will never fail me. And so for me to know that he's faithful, to know that before the foundation of the world, he chose me, to know that he needed me in my mother's womb. He gave me all the gifts and abilities so that I could serve him. And that because he chose me, because I am his daughter, he has plans for me, plans of welfare and our calamity, to give me a future and a hope. And it doesn't matter what comes into my life. Everything that he brings into my life, it's part of the good work that he has started in me, that he will not finish till the day of Jesus Christ. So I can fully trust him. And yes, I may have difficulties. I may have illnesses or betrayal or trials or suffering. But he is with me. And he says that we are to rejoice in the trials. Because when we endure, it produces joy in our hearts. And when we have endurance in our lives, we will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So I know he is with me. And on top of that, he is going to preserve my body, my spirit, and my soul blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. Because faithful is he who called me, who will also do it. So I can trust him fully. He is faithful all the way around.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's amazing. You know, the idea of God's faithfulness connects to all of these other characteristics of who God is, because his faithfulness is out of his grace. It is out of his love, right? The fact that he can be faithful in all things is also connected to his omnipotence, to his omnipresence, to all of these other attributes of who he is. If he didn't have those attributes, he wouldn't, his faithfulness is kind of, it encompasses all of these other attributes of who he is as a loving, almighty, powerful God, I think. And honestly, until I started doing this podcast, I really had not thought about that in depth. But as I've asked this question to people over time, the character, the thing that people say that they've learned about God is that he's faithful. I mean, it is one of the first things off of people's lips. Hmm. And I think that that is just, and it's caused me to really think through the fact that all of these other attributes that are also true about God are really wrapped up in his faithfulness.
Amen.
And I don't know, it's almost like the attributes are not wrapped up in his faithfulness, but his faithfulness is wrapped up in every single one of the attributes, you know? So, everything that you just said about who he is and what you've learned for him to be is also, it's almost like it's hard to fit into our minds how great he is, but at the same time, it's so clear.
Amen.
You know? Is there anything else you want to say about that and God's character?
So I just need to keep my eyes on him because he's faithful. But if I am not faithful, I will get lost in the world or get worried. So I need to keep my eyes on him because he's always there. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And it doesn't matter what happens in my life. He's there. He's right here with us right now. Yeah. So isn't that exciting?
It is. So now I'm just really curious. I mean, obviously, you've got a very deep understanding of who God is, and I'm sure you've experienced him in so many ways over the years, every single day, in, you know, every moment you're experiencing his presence and what's going on. But I would love to know, just in your life, have there been experiences or certain times that really stand out to you when his presence or power has been very evident to you?
Well, yes, there are many things, but I think the greatest thing, as you know, is that my dear husband passed away. So it all started in 2019 when he was diagnosed with colon cancer, stage 1. He overcame the cancer, but his body was weakened because of the chemotherapy and everything that they gave him. So when we had COVID in 2021, his body couldn't withstand it. He ended up in the hospital, and the hospital, they gave him treatment, but he developed a blood clot. So he had a massive heart attack. Mm. He was in the hospital, and he was not intubated. He was not in intensive care. He just needed a little bit of oxygen. 5 liters. But if you know 5 liters, it's not very much because people get 20, 30 liters a day. But he passed away suddenly. And so it was a great shock for the children and for me. And because we expected him to come home in 2 days.
Right.
So I know it was human error because he should have needed blood thinners. But we trusted in God's sovereignty and God's love. We could feel God's love and we could feel God's comfort during that terrible situation. And what comforted me was to know that in Psalm 139:16, it says that even before Eric was born, God already knew when he was going to die. He already knew his days were numbered. So it doesn't matter what men did or didn't do to him in the hospital. God called him home. But then there I was. I was a widow overnight. Mm-hmm. My world was turned upside down. So it's like I was a widow by God's grace. It's like, now what, Lord? What do you have for me? Because this was not, it was not in the plan.
Your plan, right?
No, it was not. We always dream that we'll be short-term missionaries or things like that. But little by little, God has shown me what he has for me because he loves me. He loves the kids. And he has shown me, this is the way, walk in it. And so I know he will use me. I know that he will take care of me. I guess I can share a little thing, like off the cuff. A month before my husband passed away, he went to the bank and paid off the house.
Oh, wow.
It's like out of the blue.
Wow.
My husband was like, I want to pay off the house. I said, well, why? We're good. No, he said, I want to pay off the house. So even in that, wow. It's like the Holy Spirit put the desire in his heart. Now, the kids have, the kids and I have a safe place to be.
Right.
So, you know, how can I argue with God? I can't. And then later he brought my dear daughter Esther with her two little babies to live with me. So now I can invest my life in those babies. And I just pray that I can be like Lois, Timothy's grandmother in the Bible, that her sincere faith was first in her daughter and then in her grandson, Timothy. And I just pray. I just know that the only thing that will count for eternity is what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ and what I do for others. So I just pray that the Lord will help me to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in his work, knowing what I do for him is not in vain. Mm. But it's challenging at times.
Right, of course. Wow. The thing that sticks out to me the most in hearing, whenever I ask you the question, a time when God's presence and power had been really evident to you, the example that you give me is when my husband died, you know, and sometimes maybe people who have not lived many years in a faith walk would find that to be very surprising, right? Like, God has been evident to me when this wonderful thing happened to me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Or God was evident to me whenever I asked for this thing and then he gave it to me. Or I asked for a sign and then he showed it to me, you know? And those kinds of things are like, ooh, ah, God, right? You know, it's like I blow out a candle at a birthday cake and then poof, my wish comes true. And your example of all the things that you've lived, the first example you give to me is I really experienced the power and presence of God when my husband died. And that to me is almost like, it's almost like we need to sit here for a minute and think about that, because do I have the kind of relationship with God that if my husband were to pass suddenly, that the very first, that in that moment, God would be ever present with me? And honestly, Sonia, I have to say to you, I believe that I do.
Amen. Yes, you do.
And my heart longs and desires for other people to have that. Mm. I want others who feel lost or who feel like they're not really sure about their future or they're not sure what would happen if something terrible occurred in their life. I want them to come to know that confidence. Mm. I want them to come to know that our God, the God, their God too, you know, I want them to come to know that God that is with you always and that comes and meets you in the deepest, darkest moments of your life. And you are not alone.
Amen.
That's what I want for other people. Mm. And I think that hearing it from you right now just accentuates how real that is. That's not a made up fairy tale. That is who God is. That is how he is with us. He can turn our darkness to light. He meets us in the midst of our trials and tribulations. And I like to say, and this comes out of a very dark moment in my life, when I received some really, really good guidance. But I like to say, God is in the business of turning darkness to light. He's been doing it since the beginning of time, and he won't stop now.
Amen. That's what it is. Yeah, he is with us in trouble. He will help us. He will hold us by our right hand. And he says, do not fear, I will help you. And as I just held on to that, to his promises in the scripture, that he loved me and that he is going to see me through. He's going to see me safe to heaven.
Right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share? Any other types of experiences that you've gone through in your life, or whether big or small, that you'd like to share about God being evident?
Well, I guess when I came to this country, because when I was about 16, I decided that I want to come to the United States and marry a tall and handsome American, which my husband was. But I wanted to do it the right way. And so I prayed and I worked hard. I prepared myself. And out of the blue, he opened that door. But I know that he did it because he had me in mind. Mm. He was opening doors for me that no one could shut. So I sent my resume to the bank, to the IDB. They got it. They want to see me. I came here to the United States on a Saturday. On Monday, I had interview, and they gave me shorthand and typing tests in both languages. And on Tuesday, I was hired.
Wow.
Just like that. And they changed my tourist visa to a G4 visa, which was a diplomatic visa. I was able to help my widow mother and pay off her home. So that was by itself a miracle.
Wow. How, and all of that was leading up to you coming to know the Lord.
Amen. Yes. So he has plans for me. He loves me. And yeah. I have to trust him that everything that happens in my life is for my good because I love him.
Right. And I know that you were kind of working for the Lord before you came to the States. You know, you were working in good works.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think that what you're sharing about the way that God orchestrates all things for us, particularly as he's leading us towards a relationship with him, those things are not contingent on how big our faith is.
That's right. Yes.
You know, we don't have to. He is. So if somebody out there is listening and thinking, well, I don't really have a relationship with God, so therefore God's not working in my life. Wrong. God can definitely be working in your life right now, even if you don't have a faith in God.
That's right.
Because God knows you, even if you don't know God yet.
Amen. Yeah.
And God will work things to orchestrate things in your life. And he ultimately wants to draw you into relationship with him for your good and for his glory.
That's right. Because had I stayed in Guatemala, I would have never become saved.
Right.
There was no way because of my family and everybody and the pressure of the society and the environment that I was. So God knew that. He had to take me out.
Wow. I love how you've experienced him in those ways, and you have these experiences that kind of it's a gift from God to even be able to experience something like that. We don't have to have these very remarkable, evident experiences in order for God's work to be true, right? But he gives us the gift of experiencing these things that draw us to him and that anchor us in our faith. I know that many times if I'm struggling with doubt, I will close my eyes and think back to a moment like the ones that you've just described in my life. And I'll think, I absolutely 100% know that God was in my life in that moment. And therefore I know that he's in my life now. Even if I'm struggling with doubt, I can go back to that anchor point in my faith journey, and I can remember who he is. And then that remembrance of truth and the remembrance, like you have mentioned many times, of biblical truth, what's in the Bible that I've learned to be true of God, it's like putting a needle into popping a balloon of doubt, right? Like if I have this balloon of doubt in my head, it just goes, and it goes, and right. it just deflates the balloon of doubt. And I go, okay, I don't have that doubt anymore. Oh, I love it. All right. So I'm curious, I'd love to hear what relationship with God looks like for you. What does that look like for you in your day-to-day life? We often talk about, oh, being in relationship with God or having a relationship with God. And sometimes that can be very kind of mysterious. What does that mean? What does relationship with God mean? What does that look like behind the scenes in the life of a Christian who is walking in faith? So I'd love to hear, what does that mean for Sonia?
Well, first comes to mind is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So my personal time with God is very important. It's a priority in the morning because I need to know him. I need to hear from him. I need to see what he has to tell me that day for my life. So I'm very grateful that when we were young believers at the Bible church where I got saved, my husband and I were discipled by a couple by the Navigators. And they taught us how to have a 4-point application quiet time. So I can share a little bit.
Okay, what's so a 4-point application quiet time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they included the verse, the truth, the doctrinal statement of the verse, the need, and the application. So there are 4 parts. So the verse is like you read your Bible. First, you ask guidance from the Holy Spirit that when you read your Bible, he will show you great and mighty things you did not know before. Mm. So you do that. And then you read a passage. And from that passage, you choose a verse that calls your attention. So you write it down. Then there's the verse. The truth is you analyze the verse. You see, what is the doctrinal statement of that particular verse? So you can do many things. You can do look at cross references, you look at synonyms of keywords, definitions of words, you can look at the Greek of the word, and then you paraphrase it in your own words and you write it down. So you have written the original verse, then you write the verse and you paraphrase it. So that's the
way, kind of your interpretation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But with everything that, you know, not at the blue, but
On your analysis.
Based on your analysis, you paraphrase it. So that's it. So the truth and the need. There's the verse, the truth, and then there is the need. So based on the doctrine that you just learned, you examine your own life and you say, okay, now I have this doctrinal statement. This is this truth from the word of God. What do I need to change in my life in light of what the Lord has to show me through his word? So you think about it and then you write, what is your need in light of that? Because the Bible says that we're not to be just hearers of the word, but doers. That we won't go into look in the mirror and forget what we have seen, right? So then the last thing is the application. That's what the rubber meets the road, expression is.
Yeah.
So then you say, I said, Lord, how can I apply that in my life today? Not tomorrow, today. Mm-hmm. So there is something that you can do to apply that scripture today. And that was has helped me to know the Lord, to receive guidance from him. And we taught our 6 kids to do it that way. And some of them are working like that, and God is working in all of their lives. But yeah, that is what we learned. That's what it looks to me to have my relationship with him. I need to know what he says in the scripture. It's like I long to see what he's going to tell me today.
Mm. I love that. So how often do you do this?
Every day. I try, except Sundays.
Right. Okay.
Except Sundays.
Yeah.
Yes. I probably should do it Sundays, but I said, well, I go to listen to Pastor Barry.
Yeah, you're studying something different that day. So every day, how long have you been doing that every day?
Well, not I wouldn't say every day, that's my goal.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 30 years.
Wow. Yeah, and so that's how you've come to know the Word of God.
Amen.
And have it close to mind and on the... anytime I've had a conversation with Sonia, she's always spoken to me about her reaction to what I've said or advice for my situation. And the words that she speaks are not simply Sonia's words. They are words that come straight from the Bible. And in fact, if we were to take this conversation today and break down everything that Sonia has said, we could probably make about 15 or 20 biblical references. Because the truth that you speak is truth that has derived from your time in the Word of God and understanding His truth, and then you speak that truth to others. So it's such an encouragement to talk with you, Sonia. Oh,
thank you. But that is really the only truth that we can say is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's His will for our lives.
I know. And everyone's on a quest to try to figure out what is God's will, right? So Amen. You're like, no, we know the will. We have the information. We just have to go to it and Amen. Lean on it. That's right.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, Sonia, as we close, I would love to know what advice you would have for somebody who might be struggling to believe.
Well, Jessica, everyone believes in someone. The thing is whether they believe in God or believe in themselves or in the world. For example, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they chose to believe the serpent, which brought them eternal separation from God. So for someone who is doubting to believe, I will ask him lovingly to look around, to look at their surroundings, to look at the beauty of God's creation. For you can look at a intricate design of the hummingbird or a beautiful hibiscus flower. Or you can think of the human body, you know, how each cell has to work together to keep us alive. Or intricate DNA, how it varies with every person. There is no one is alike. Even with my six kids, they were all different. Mm-hmm. So you can see that. You can see that the God's majesty and how the heavens declare the glory of God. So if someone wants to see, if they can open their eyes, they can see that. But the greatest testimony is the peace and joy that other believers have in their hearts, because the world is looking for peace. But they can find it mm-hmm. because the true peace comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ, because the peace and joy that surpasses all comprehension shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That's what I will say for someone who is struggling to believe. Just look around. Look what the Lord has done in your life. Even if you're not a believer, God has watched over you, has kept you probably from accidents or incidents, has protected your family. That's what I would say.
I love that. Thank you so much for that advice. That's beautiful advice. So I'm actually going to ask you something that you're probably not expecting. Okay. So don't get too nervous. But,
all right.
You know, we're sitting here and for anyone listening, you know that Sonia is from Guatemala and I'm from the United States, but I do live kind of a bilingual life, English, Spanish. Could we close today with a quick maybe kind of almost like a blessing or benediction in Spanish? Would you say something to our Spanish-speaking friends who might be listening as a quick farewell or blessing as we close?
Queridos hermanos, un privilegio estar acá con ustedes. Yo les animo a que amen a Dios con todo su corazón, con toda su mente y con toda su alma. Que busquen primeramente el reino de Dios y su justicia, y todo lo que ustedes necesitan será añadido a ustedes. Y recuerden siempre que Dios puede proveer para ustedes de acuerdo a sus riquezas en el cielo, en Cristo Jesús.
Amén. Thank you, Sonia. It's been a beautiful conversation.
Thank you, Jessica. It's been fun.
If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow. And you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.